Good morning, everybody. Hope you had a good week. What a beautiful day it is today. All right. Now, for me, I took a little bit of extra time and took a couple walks around the church just to enjoy the beautiful sunshine. And that definitely helps me in my mood and in my, you know, outlook on everything, and gave me some pleasure to just look up into the sky and see the sun shining on my face. I shouldn't need that, and neither should you, because we have so many other things to be thankful for. Today's sermon is going to be about the most important thing you probably already have if you don't talk to me after we're done. Because we're going to be talking about you must be born again. Okay, so I think about this, and this is actually going to end up being, I'm pretty sure, a two-week sermon, which is good. Because I don't want to take you too long and then miss out on potluck. I am hungry, Jack, right now. I don't really eat breakfast. But here we are talking and we're going to be together and I want you to think about this, maybe as we talk, as we're having potluck. Thank you, Jesus, I am born again. Because the alternative is really bad. We're going to be talking about that. I am born again, and I had really very little, if anything, to do with that. You must be born again. We're going to be talking about that. But I want you to know that the conclusion of this sermon and next week's sermon is I really need to be intentionally thankful to Jesus every single day that he paid the price for me to be born again. Born again. Now, so we're going to be looking at that. We're going to be looking at the whole thing. I must be born again. And so let's start and go ahead and I'll read you the passage from John 3, verses 1 through 8. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, who was a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who's come from God, for no one could do the signs that you do unless God is with him. And Jesus then answered him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Here we go. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born again when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. And that which is born of spirit is spirit. So do not marvel that I say to you, Nicodemus, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it goes. And so it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. And I'm going to go back. Yeah. Here we are in John chapter 3. A lot of times you'll hear, and I would probably agree with this as well, if you're going to speak to someone who has very little knowledge of the Bible or Christianity, let me give you this hint. Take them to the book of John. Okay. I hear that all the time, talking to different evangelists. If that's the only thing that you've got, if that's the only time you got, take them to the book of John. And walk them through. And I'm going to say this. If I only had 5 minutes or 10 minutes, take them to the book of John chapter 3. Take him to the book of John, chapter 3, because there is some amazing truth that gives us a perspective that every single human being is in, but most don't see. In fact, it said right in there, unless you've been born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And so we're going to be talking about this. And so we've got two kind of things that we're going to be talking about, and I'm going to go through them both. But basically, what does it say? What is the title of the sermon? Let me go back to the title of the sermon. Does it say, it'd be really cool if you were born again? I'm kind of thinking it's a good idea if you'd be born again. Or, yeah, you know, you got a lot of options out there. I'm pretty much leaning towards being born again. Yes or no? What does it say? You must, because I told you already, the alternative is horrible. You must be born again. And so we're going to be looking at that. And we're going to be looking at these things regarding that. There are two things we're going to be looking at. Two topics. One for this week, one for the next. And you would think, is born again the topic for this week? Nope, it's not. Kind of about the alternative or what happens. Because what is at stake? What is at stake when it says this? Okay, I'm not. What's at stake? What does it say in the verses? Verse 3. What's it say? Unless you're born again, you're never going to see the kingdom of God. Okay? What's it say here? Verse 5. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. What's at stake? What have I told you a number of times from up here is the most important and valuable thing any human being can be involved in? Relationship with God. See, when we were created in God's image, like we talked about earlier, creating God's image, which Jack was talking about. And then we were put in the Garden of Eden when we had, when this God space and man space were completely together. I said, big old circle, God space, little circle, Earth and our galaxy, whatever, man space. And God space and man space were completely together until sin enters the world. I don't understand that. I don't. And Satan was up in heaven. He's cast down to be our neighbor. What a bummer. And he comes, and then he tricks him in. Come on, you can do this. You'll be like God. And they do it. And that sinfulness created a gap between us and God that could never be fixed from us. Now, I'm going to guess the majority of the human beings in the history of the world never understood that. Or never cared. And they've never had relationship with God. Because here's what I'm going to tell you. That is not available outside the kingdom of God. So, can we see the kingdom? So we're going to be talking about the kingdom of God. What does it look like? Where is it? When's it going to happen? Is it now? Is it later? Is it everything? Is it just when we go to heaven? Is it just partially now and mostly then? So we're going to be seeing, what does it mean? Because we're going to be talking about being born again next Sunday. But this Sunday, we're going to be looking at, what does it mean? Since you're telling me, if I'm not born again, I won't see or be in the kingdom of God. So what does that mean? Who cares? It means everything. Because without it, you can never have a relationship with God, which in this world, people still live and die and never have a relationship with God. And some of them probably even think, yeah, I did pretty well and this was okay because I get this on some days and I can go outside and I'm driving a nice, beautiful car and I live in a wonderful home. I have an amazing wife and good kids and all that. Yeah, life is pretty good until you die and find out I'm not in the kingdom of God if I haven't accepted Jesus Christ. And then your eternal existence is going to be the worst possible thing you could ever imagine, because you will never have relationship with God. So this is an unbelievably critical thing that's going on as they talk about it. And so I'm going to go through kind of verse by verse, and we're going to be looking at what is this thing really saying and what are some of the things or points that are in there. So we're going to be going verse by verse, and then we're going to come back and look at the kingdom. What does it mean? I'll give you the what does it mean? Where is it? When is it going to happen? And how do we get in? Okay, that's today. Then next Sunday, we're going to be talking about being born again. What does that mean? How does it happen? Who chooses who to make it happen? And what am I supposed to do with it when it's done? Okay, that's what we're going to be talking about. See, they tell you that in preacher school. Tell them what you're going to tell them, and tell them what you told them. So now I've told you what I'm going to tell you. And then I'm going to have to tell you, and then I'll have to conclude by telling you what I told you. That's what we're going to do. So today, though, we're looking at this passage, and we'll be looking at it verse by verse. Because what the other thing they tell you in preacher school is, what does it say? What does it mean? How do I apply it to my life? That's another thing I'm supposed to be doing to you up here. And so what does this really say? So in verse 1, I'll go back. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, who was a ruler of the Jews. Okay, so Jesus is in Jerusalem during the Passover. There are a ton of Jews that come to Jerusalem for the Passover from all over the known world. We've already seen, right, he's come in and he's had this thing in the temple where he throws the money changers out and tips over all the tables, creates this big thing. He's got a whip and he's whipping away. But they have seen him up to this point. Now, I talked about this a little bit before. As I read different theologians, you know, some of them will say, and for sure this happened at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. A lot of other theologians and Bible scholars say, well, we aren't really sure that John is in order from a time standpoint. We think this is the same incident that's talked about later in some of the other Gospels, at the end of Jesus' ministry, in fact, right before he's crucified. Okay, so I'm not sure if that's going to matter, but what we know is Nicodemus, who is like, I don't know, number two or three, I don't think he's the high priest, but he's way up there in the Jewish Sanhedrin with the Pharisees. We have a couple of groups, right? We got the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they're all kind of fighting for power within the Sanhedrin. And this guy is one of the top ones, and he has seen this Jesus dude and heard from all the followers that are out there all these cool things that he's done. So if this indeed happened at the beginning of his ministry, he's already at least done the turning the water into wine. We've already read that, right? And then he's come in, but he's called, and this is the leaders, I mean, top leader of the Pharisees saying, Rabbi, calling him Rabbi. And so here's this, and are they having issues with Jesus, the Pharisees? He's sucking away our power. That's not what the Messiah was supposed to look like. He's not some guy that just comes in, he's really timid or you know. No, we're expecting this great, powerful leader to step up and turn the Jewish nation into the most powerful nation in the world and throw out the Romans. You can't be the Messiah. What are you telling people? So they're very unhappy with Jesus. And so now maybe this is Nicodemus, and he has an opportunity to say, hey, this Jesus dude shows up, so I'm going to bring my, my crowd of people with me. And, okay, Jesus, tell me exactly what you're doing because I don't like what you're saying. Does he do that? No, he comes to him at night, and we have to assume that because he's coming to him at night, he's feeling maybe some, well, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this really is somebody I should know. And he comes and he says, okay, Rabbi, I mean, he's pretty good. This is, you would think that this is a fairly complimentary statement, wouldn't you? He said, okay, Rabbi, teacher. We know you are a teacher that's from God because no one can do the signs that you do unless God is with him. And so at least Nicodemus, head of the high up end of the Jewish leadership, has recognized that maybe this guy is somebody special. Now, I don't think he's recognizing that this is the Son of God, but at least he's saying, I've heard about or seen some things that you've done, and I'm pretty much under the impression that the only way that's happening is because you are a man of God. And he's checking it out. And so, okay, give him a little bit of credit. You know, maybe he's at least questioning. Now, we would see later on that, unfortunately, he doesn't buy out in the end, does he? He doesn't say, yeah, this is it. Let's get behind him. No, unfortunately, that's too bad. But so he comes and he says, Jesus, we know, is he sucking up? Maybe he's sucking up. We know you're a teacher from God because nobody could do this. And so does Jesus say, yeah, pretty much. No, what does he say? He's questioning Nicodemus, right? Because what does Jesus know in his heart and his mind? Because he is God. All of these guys, especially these Jewish leaders, especially what's been going on in the Jewish nation, especially what's been going on, these people are no longer truly the chosen people of God because they are not in the kingdom. And so Jesus is going to say, hey, look, Nicodemus, I know who you think you are, and I know you think you're right up there. I know you think you're one of God's chosen people, and in fact, at the top of the list maybe of God's chosen people, but here's what I'm going to tell you. Truly I say to you, is he answering his question? No. He's giving him something to think about that is incredibly important. And he answers him this way, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, we'll look at this as we get into born again, what it means, because it actually it probably is not as easy to understand. The word born and the word again can mean some other things, especially the word again. And we're going to talk about that next week. But because it's going to mean you are born from above or you are born as a restart. Okay? Born again. I am going to kind of back you up to the original process, and we're going to do this thing over the right way. Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And that's what he tells Nicodemus. Can't see. And we're going to be looking at these the two words. What does it mean to see? What does it mean to enter? As we're going to get into in verse 5. So Nicodemus says to him, because he's answered him with this question. That's not really what I was looking for, Jesus. I was wanting to know, are you actually going to admit you're the Messiah and that you're a man of God and all that? Because I need to know. I'm seeing these things. They don't make any sense. There's a lot of pressure against you from the crowd of people that I live with, the Pharisees. And I really want to know. And so this is what you tell me? Unless I'm born again, I can't see the kingdom of God. I don't understand what that means. In fact, how in the world am I supposed to be born again? I can't get back in my mother's womb and do it a second time. So do you think he really understands what Jesus is talking about? Because when he says you need to be born again, we're going to see the answer. But he's not really meaning, no, this would not help you, sir. I mean, if you could just start over and come out once again, you're going to come out the same broken, sinful person you were the first time. So he answers the question. Now, it's metaphorical a little bit again, and he's still going to have a problem with the answer. So Jesus answers that. Because here's Nicodemus thinking, this guy's an idiot. I can't be born again. I'm already old. Jesus answers him, truly, truly, I say to you. This is another thing. How many of you ever, it's kind of, what is this about? Truly, truly. He says a lot. He's making sure that they understand this is an important answer. When he says, truly, truly, you can look it up yourself. But what that means is, listen up, dude. This is important. Unless you are born of water and the Spirit, a man cannot enter, not just see, but can't enter the kingdom of God. And so what does it mean to be born of water and the Spirit? This is metaphorical because he's not saying, you know, hey, because some this was an interesting study for me. How many of you have read this before? I'm sure you probably have. This is a very popular passage. You'd be amazed at how many viewpoints different theologians have picked this thing apart till there's almost nothing left. Like, oh, come on, it's not that difficult. But anyway, so when they say born of water, some people say, well, what he's meaning is baptism. No, no, no. And then the other theologians say, no, no, what he's really talking about is the cleansing that has to happen by the Holy Spirit to make this new person what he's supposed to be. It's not talking about baptism at all. And then the Spirit is pretty, if you're not on the same page with that one, you're probably having a really difficult time as a theologian. Because when it says the Spirit, it's very clear from the original Greek word, it's talking about God's Holy Spirit. Okay, so Jesus is telling him, unless you are born of water, and we'll talk about that when we get into next week and see what born again means. Unless you are born of water, because I don't believe it does mean baptism. Some people still think that, but we'll talk about it next week. Unless you are born and are, then I say, cleansed by the Holy Spirit. And it's a Holy Spirit-sponsored activity, event, process. You can never actually be a child of God. You think you are, Nicodemus. But unless you have been born again, unless the Holy Spirit has come into your life and created this new person from the old person, you can do all you want. You can follow all the rules. You can do all of your traditions, all your feasts and festivals and do all of these things. And guess what? You are not a child of God because you must be born again. And see, and we saw that, it was the last time, when Jesus said, I can look into the hearts and minds of people and know who they are. He knew who Nicodemus was. And he's telling him, because he knows, and because he knows that Nicodemus thinks he's saved, thinks he's going to the kingdom of God, thinks he's probably one of the leaders of the kingdom of God, and he's telling him, sir, you don't get it. Unless you are born again by my Father's Holy Spirit to make you into this new person, starting over, completely redone, you just don't have it. You're not even going to enter the kingdom of God, because what is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. So what is he trying to say there? What is he trying to say? He's trying to say, look, there's two different kind of people that are out there. There's two different parts of your existence here. One is a spiritual existence. One is fleshly. If you're only in the fleshly existence, you have no hope for an eternal destiny that's going to be any good. Got to be born, and it's a Holy Spirit sponsored event. And I'm guessing Mr. Nicodemus probably still didn't understand. And so this, I like this part too. Jesus says to him, don't marvel at what I said. You must be born again. And then he's going to tell him something. Now I'm going to ask you what you think this means. The wind blows where it wishes. You hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from, and you don't know where it's going. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. So what do you think that's saying? Why did he tell him that? Here's Nicodemus saying, dude, I don't get it. Like, how can I be born again? And then Jesus says, you have to be redone by God. Well, I don't get it. Well, here, why don't you get it? Why don't you get it, Nicodemus? Because it's like this. It's like the wind. You can't see it. You don't understand where it comes from. Maybe you don't even understand why there is a wind. You don't get it because unless the Holy Spirit opens your heart and your mind, nobody gets it. And that's what he's telling him. And so it is. So I know where, I don't know, but you do not know. He's telling him, you do not know where it comes from. Does Jesus know where it comes from? Okay. Now, what about us? Do we know? How many of you ever thought about or called yourself a born-again Christian? Yeah. Did you know what that meant? I think you do, because the Holy Spirit opened your eyes and you were given or read the message of the gospel and it transformed you. Okay. So I think this is a message for Mr. Nicodemus and all of the other people, maybe in his group. You guys just plain don't get it. Because it's not going to be obvious to you until the Spirit does the work in your life. So I go back to that first part, and I understood this, and I'm saying, guess what, God? I know this is, we have theologians on both sides of this, but I'm looking at this and saying, I didn't either until you did what you did in my life. I didn't earn this. I didn't even choose this, as far as what the scripture tells me. Now, I was involved with it, and a decision was made. But God, I am so grateful because I did not deserve being born again. And neither did any of you. And so I look at that as God's greatest gift to mankind. I'm going to come down and I'm going to completely overhaul you and make you into what I need you to. It's not going to be finished in this life, folks. But it's on the way. And Jesus made it happen because he died for you and me. And so I just want God to continue to just keep giving me thanks for that. There are a whole lot of other things that are negative that I get caught up in and think about all the time. God, I'm born again. Thank you. Every day I got to think that. Every hour of every day I got to think that. Be thankful to God. And so what is it, this kingdom of God? So we can look at that real quick. I'm not going to try to take up too much of your time. But we read that in there and we see then, what does it really mean to be born again? And what is at stake? So we saw that. What's at stake is I'm not either going to see, which is, we're going to see what that means, or enter the kingdom of God. So see is the Greek word idu, to be fully aware of, behold, perceive, and understand. So basically he's telling me without being born again, you can't either see the kingdom of God, which means I don't understand what it's all about. I'm not aware of it. I can't behold it. I can't perceive the whole thing because it doesn't make sense from a worldly sense, from a standpoint. It doesn't make sense for most people. We share the gospel with people and somehow we think if I'm just good enough, if I'm just can answer all their questions, somehow I can change their heart and mind and they're going to come to Jesus. It'd be nice if that were true, maybe. According to Scripture, it's a work of the Holy Spirit. And it's the start. Okay, so the kingdom of God, what does it mean? It means this, the domain where God's sovereignty reigns supreme, relationship with God is restored both now in this life and eternally. And we'll see some of that in John 18, 36. Let me read you that verse. And Jesus answered them, the people that were asking him, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom, how many remember this was at? I think he's in front of Pilate, right? He's talking to him right before the crucifixion. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would be fighting for me that I may not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not of this world. So does that mean that the kingdom of God does not exist anywhere in the world? No. Now, are people going into the kingdom of God in this world? Yes, they are. Okay. So to understand what is the kingdom of God, I believe, because this is, again, one of these things that theologians are saying, no, he's talking about something. It's only talking about when Jesus either returns or when you die and you come out of this, now you are in the kingdom of God. Never in this world are you ever going to be in the kingdom of God. And then other people say, no, it's only in this world. And then some say, well, no, it's both. And that's me. I'm going to say, I think it's both. Because what does it include? What is the main thing that I gave you at the beginning? What am I supposed to achieve? Relationship with God. Okay. Outside the kingdom of God, you got squat. So, do I have a relationship with God? Yes, indeed. I believe I am in the kingdom of God. I may not be living physically in the kingdom of God, because he kind of, it says, when you go back and read the whole thing, he kind of gave this world, it says, who's in this world? Satan. Okay. Boy, does it look like it. Boy, is it looking like it more every day. Is this really want you? You want me to be here? I'd rather be up there. Well, you're still in my kingdom, Tim, but yeah, you live in this cesspool of sinfulness and brokenness. So, where is it? Okay. I believe, in that verse helps us there. Where is the kingdom of God? Let me read you these two passages, and then we're going to be close to being done. 1 John 2, 15 through 17 says this, "Do not love the things of this world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." That's verse 15 in 1 John chapter 2. And in verse 16, "For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life are not from the Father, but from the world. For the world is passing away along with all of its desires, and whoever does the will of God will abide forever." And then in John 15, 18 and 19, "If the world hates you, know that it's hated me before it hated you." Just as Jesus talking to his disciples. "If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, I chose you out of the world, and therefore the world hates you." Okay, so I believe this is Jesus telling them, yes, you live in this place, but I have chosen you out of the world. Because if you were of the world, not just meaning you live in the world, but if you were of the people who, this world is the place, their kingdom, then you're not really mine. I chose you. You are in the world, but don't be of the world. Okay, so where's the kingdom of God? I think that tells me the kingdom of God is wherever his children are. And that's here for now. But am I totally changed? No. Is the world? Yeah, Jesus came down and yeah, he's just getting rid of all the trash. Nope. He came down. He died. And he set into the position where it could start to grow his kingdom on earth. So I believe the kingdom of God is now and eternally. It is here and in the next world. But it says in the next one, when Jesus returns, we're going to be living in the new heaven and the new earth. God, space, and man, space, back in one. Then this world will be the kingdom of God, not just those that belong to him now. Okay, so do you want that? Do you want now? I hope you do. Because it's the only really way of finding true peace and joy, regardless of circumstances, because I can look to heaven and say, I'm born again. Thank you, Jesus. I'm in the kingdom of God. Not completely, but I am. And so are you, if you're born again. Okay, so where is it? When is it? And again, same thing. Is it now? Is it at the second coming? Is it only when we're dead? You know, only when we die? Again, I believe it's all. All three things. So what is the kingdom of God? When is the kingdom of God? Where is the kingdom of God? So we can't enter or go into without being born again. So next time, okay, now hopefully you have an understanding, right? What is it that God is telling me that's at stake? Being in the kingdom of God, which means relationship with God now and forever in eternity, the most wonderful thing. It's the best possible thing now, although it's still got painful things that happen here. But that's what's at stake. And it says then, we're going to talk about next week, the only possible way to ensure that you are in and will be in for eternity the kingdom of God is what? To be born again. So next week, we're going to be talking about what does that look like? What does it mean? How does it happen? And who chooses who? All right, so let's pray now. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that your Holy Spirit actually opened our eyes so we could stink and understand what's in it. Because without it, evidently, we'd know nothing. We wouldn't see the hope that's out there. We wouldn't feel it. So, Lord, thank you for that. Thank you that you've opened our eyes. Thank you that you give us this inspiration to come together as a family on a Sunday and just share that hope and share the joy and share the peace that we have in the midst of a fallen, broken, sinful, horribly difficult world. But Lord, give us that grace. Give us that peace. Give us the joy that comes when we realize intentionally that we are born again. And what that meant for you and what it means for us. So Lord, we need to keep that at the forefront of our minds in every instant of our life. And we know that that requires your help. So we thank you and we praise you for how you're going to use that in our lives right now. In Jesus' name, amen.